Last week we talked about a case where even when there's a siman on the object, there's still an assumption of yiyush, and that's if the object was lost for a long time, so we can assume the owners have given up hope for it. We saw Tosfos that it's only if it's something that you can intrinsically see. The owner knows that it's, everyone that finds it will realize that it was lost for a long time, like it gets rusty or weeds were going around, like the Gemara states. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't seem to be machalik like that. The Shulchan Aruch seems to hold like Rashi that anyway, you know that this thing has been lost for a long time, you can assume that the owners are giving up hope of finding it, even though there's a siman on it, and therefore you're allowed to take it. We did see though that if Allah called with Nimishuris Hadin, that if you know who the owner is, either because the owner came to you and he had heard that you found it, he said that it's mine and he gave you that siman, or his name is on it, we were talking about the old suitcase on the side, or his name is on that suitcase and you could just call him up and tell him you found it, so then there's halacha with nimister sadin to return it, even though it was easily seen that it had been lost a long time ago. If there's a siman but not his name on it, so there the poskim seems to conclude that there's no obligation to trouble yourself to make the announcement that would normally have to be made if you found an object with a siman. Since this has been lost for a long time, you can assume that he was miyayesh, and the siman is sure siddin, only goes so far to call him if you know whose it is, but you're not obligated to take that trouble of trying to identify who the owner is. So that's what we said last week. This week we'll talk about another case where the Gemara says, I'll give it away. The Gemara says that this is a case where you're allowed to keep the object you found even though it might have a siman on it. And the case is, we'll talk about the case where you were scuba diving and you found something in the bottom of the ocean, or something, you're on the beach and something got washed on the shore. And not that it would, now we're not talking that was there from years. If it was there from years ago, so then that's what we learned last week. Here it's something that looks brand new. It's a computer. You can tell what model it is. And there's a siman on it. So what are your obligations in that case? I just said that you're allowed to keep it, but is it always so? What are the exact rules of finding something like that? And then we will discuss other cases. Like I saw someone extended this, we'll have to see if we agree with him, to if you found something in a garbage can, or at the end we'll talk about items that were lost during World War II that resurfaced. Is there any obligation to return them to the owner? Just so you know, this Maisa that happened in Yeshiva that Pesach Kron has it in his book. The Rabbi Walk once went to Rav David Krongli, asked to ask to borrow the Sefer Rav Yerucham, and Rav David, he asked if he had it. Rav David said yes, so he said, could I borrow it? And so he said yes, but he saw Rav David was like very agitated about giving it over. He said, make sure you give it back right away. And he said, like, why are you so nervous about lending it out? So he said, you know why? That when I was in, you know, David Krongli was in the war and he went to Japan, he was in Shanghai, the mirror, and then he finally came back to America. So he said that, and this is what we're going to be talking about, that after the war, when they were recovering the different Jewish-owned items that had been taken, so they were shipping back Svarim, they were shipping Svarim back to America. And the yeshiva has a lot of them. They have these old tours in the Shulchan Aruch, a lot of old Svarim that were shipped back. So David was in yeshiva then when they were shipping the Svarim back, and he opened up a box. He was sorting them. He opened a box, and in that box was this Rav Yerucham. Rav Yerucham was a mashgiach in the mirror, and he saw that it has name in it. Right. So the sefer had followed him all the way to Baltimore, and it was very precious to him. So that's why he was
his
a little loath to lend it out.
His
name in it, right? And that's why he wasn't so thrilled about lending it out so easily. So anyway, that's our question. These items that came over, suppose someone else had found it, would he have been mechuyev to give it to Rav David Krongles when it says Rav David Krongles in the Sefer? Right, that's the sugya we're talking about tonight. So the Gemara says like this, famous Gemara, and just to repeat what we said last week, Shmuel Shpitz, he said we're always used to thinking of it. We know about the Zuto Shal Yom, we know about all these things, but just to apply it in the Maisa, I mean, these also, I mean, even going through them, it's not so simple. Where they apply and where they don't. But we'll try and make it as simple as we can. At least what I understand, I'll share with you. So the Gemara says like this, Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Yishmael ben Yehotzadah. Rav Yochanan said in her name, Rav Yishmael ben Yehotzadah b'metiyah chabez on a day. Minayin laveda sheshtafa nohar shimuteres. How do you know that if something got lost and it was swept away by a river, shimuteres, that it's mutter for anyone to keep it? Because the pasuk says in the parasha of Hashabbos Aveda, "V'chein tasele chamaro." This is what you should do for your donkey, for his donkey that you find. "V'chein tasele simlasa." This is what you should do for his garment that you find. "V'chein tasele chalavei sachicha." This is what you should do for anything that your brother lost. "Asher tovan mimenu mitzasa." Anything that he lost and you found. So the Gemara makes a diuk on this extra "asher tovan mimenu" that was lost from him. So the Gemara, the Rav Yochanan, make the deal. Misha avuda heimenu umetsuye to kolana. What do you have to return? Something that he lost, but other people could find. Yotza zu, that excludes this item that the river washed away. Shavuda mimenu, that not only is it lost from him, umetsuye to kolana, no one else could get it. Right? It's ashiatoven mimenu. Things that are lost from this person, that's what he has to return. That's master that he's missing it, but other people could find it. But something that the river, a flood, washes away, where no one can get at it, it's washed away by the flood. So there's no chiyuv of hashavas aveda. Right? That's what the Gemara says. The feirush of halacha. No one argues with it. The Gemara brings other examples on Chaf Dalet, on the Aleph. Chaynal Yerushim and Elazar, Yerushim and Elazar. It's another halacha. It's not really another sugi Yerushim and Elazar shita about Rabin. But Masnogeya us, for Shimon Elazar says, and these are all passing in Shulchan Aruch, Hamatzal min ha'ari, if someone says something from a lion, right, a lion comes to take someone's sheep, and you take it away, from in Hadzov, or from a bear, min a number, min a bideless, these wild animals, someone takes these, and you save it from these animals, from Zuta Shal Yon, from the tides of the sea, there was a high tide, Rashi says it would go in 15 miles in certain places, and it's true, and in some places in Europe, the tides would go in 15 miles and wash away everything that's on the land and take it out to sea. Or, like we learned in the first Gemara, it was an overflow of a river. Or, Hamotzi, Bisrati, Plati, Gadol, if you find something in a major thoroughfare, in a square, wherever there are a lot of people, you're allowed to keep it. Then because this is finally the reason, because the owners give up hope from it. Right, so these are examples, the first part of the Mishnah at least, are examples of items that are not only lost from the person, they're unavailable for anyone to take. A lion took it. Who's going to take it from a lion? From the river and overflows, the tides, these things, these cause they're lost to everyone.
Why is that so much a Stratiplatia?
Yeah, we'll see in a second. It's really not. Stratiplatia is different. We'll see soon. He puts them all together, but we'll see that they're really different. Like, these are just cases we're having a shalom. The first half is for a different reason than the second half of his memo in the brides over here. So this is the halacha that if you find something that was swept away by a river, you're allowed to keep it. First we saw Chabez on the day, the Gemara says a Beirish, it's a good and men or not from anyone else. And then we have examples, other examples from wild animals, from tides, that you're allowed to keep it. Okay, so the first thing we have to see is what the reason for these halachas are. Why is we'll call it shorthand? We'll call it the Zuto Shal Yom. Right? We're talking about things that are avuda mimenu umi kol adam, things that are lost from everyone, like the Zuto Shal Yom. Why should it be that you're allowed to keep it? So that's the machlokas Rishonim. Rashi in Bava Kama says, on the second side of the handout. Rashi explains the source of Yiyush in general. Right, we learned last week, we know that if the owner abandons hope of ever recovering his item, so he loses a certain amount of ownership over it. That's Yiyush. So Rashi explains the Derech Agav, how we know Yiyush works. Rashi says, in Nisyasu Bailam Kodesh Matzah Zeh Kona, that the owners gave up hope of ever recovering their object before the finder had it in his possession. So then Kana, he acquires it. When he picks it up, when the finder picks it up, since the owner had given up hope, so he acquires it. The Tanya Beila Matthias, because we learned in the Eila Matthias, the Gemara we just learned, Minayin Laveda Shishot Anar, how do we know that when a river overflows, that you're allowed to keep it over, and it's the Yashal Abayim, since the Abayim gave up hope, Shim Mutaris, you're allowed to keep it. Tamalam Asher Tov, and Mimenu, because it says, it begins lost Mimenu from him, Shavud, and Mimenu, Masiyah, Ashar, B'nei Adam. So Rashi, by saying that this is the source of Yeyush, is saying the reason that you're allowed to keep this item that got washed away by the river is because the owner gave up hope on it. We can assume that the owner was Niyayush. And from there, Rashi says, we learn out all halachas of Yiyush. They get more complicated to know, to determine whether the person was Miyayish. But this, Rashi says, is a prototype example of Yiyush. When a river washes something away, so we assume the owners gave up hope, and that's why when you find it, you could keep it. That's what Rashi says in Bava Kama. The Ramban disagrees with Rashi. The Ramban in Arsutya brings Rashi in Bava Kama. And he says, Masha Pirush Rashi, the Parag Muruba. That was Rashi explained in Bava Kama, the Yiyush Kana. Now we know that Yiyush is a good Kenyan, the Tanya, the Pirkin, from what we learned in our Gemara, Minayin, Laveda, Shashat, Vandar, Shemateris, that how do you know that Laveda that gets washed away by a river is Mutter? So Ama Yiyush Kana, we see from here that Yiyush is Kana. So Zonti Ramban, Zeh Einu Nochen, that's not true. So how Yiyush Lamidasu, first of all, when the river washes it away, the owner doesn't know the river washed it away, and normally the rule is if he doesn't know that he lost the object, that's not called Yiyush. Lav Yiyush. So what is the reason? Elo Chasam. Over there, when the river washed it away, it's mutter. The Rachmana Shari is Exeris HaKasa. Hashem said it's mutter. Hashem said, Mimenu Velo Mikol Adam. If it's lost from him and not from anyone else, that's when you have to return it. But if it lost from him and other people, it's a xeris akasim that you're allowed to keep. And then the Rashi goes even further, makes it clearer. He says the reason is that Rachmana Afkare, the Torah was mafkaret. It's hefker gamur. It's complete hefker. The Torah said, the Torah has the right to make things hefker, and the Torah says that if something gets swept away by a river, it is now ownerless. It's hefker. It has nothing to do with the owner's yiyush or not. Right? It's hefker. So we have a machlokus, Rashi and the Ramban, what the reason is when something gets washed away. Rashi learns you're allowed to keep it because the assumption is the owner was miyayesh, and therefore you can keep it. And that's learned from Ergamar. The Ramban says, no, Ergamar is there, it's across him, and he has a different limud to learn out yiyush. He says yiyush we learn out from Simla. The Gemara says, another Gemara says that Simla is something that has a simon on it. That's from Simla he learned out the din of yiyush. But here he learns, and the Rashi learns, that this is in a pesker. The Torah said it's hefker, anything, there's a cost of anything that's washed away, is ownerless, and whoever finds it is allowed to keep it. I mean, that's a Yisodus Dikamachlokus Rishonim, what the reason of Zutos Shalyam is. Now, one Nafkumina, there's a few Nafkuminas. The first Nafkumina, the Ramban himself said, whether Yiyush Shalomidah should apply over here. Right? If it's a regular din of Yiyush, so the rule is Yiyush only works if the owner abandons hope of ever recovering it before I, the finder, picked it up. But if I picked it up and he still was trying to find it, so then Yiyush doesn't know. But if you learn that it's there, it's the Torah says it's hefker. When something gets swept away, Hashem says, now anyone can take it, so then we don't care whether he knew about it or he didn't know about it. It's hefker completely. With Choshen Aaron,
this is where the stubborn person would come in.
We'll get there in a second.
Okay.
Right, that's going to be another one. The Choshen Aaron says another nafkamina, at least he starts saying, by something belonging to a katan. If a katan owns something, so we'll learn later that a katan is not so simple that he has the power of yiyush. Yiyush might only apply to a gadol. So if a katan toy got swept away, assuming that he really owned it, we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. If a katan really owned something and it got swept away by the ocean, so according to Rashi, who says the heter of keeping something got swept away is yiyush, so it won't work by a katan's object because yiyush doesn't work by a katan. But if it's a gzeres hakosa that Hashem was mafkir, the Torah is mafkir, anything that got swept away by the river, so it doesn't matter who owns it. It's a gzeres hakosa that whatever is swept away, you're allowed to keep. Whether it belongs to a cousin, a gadol, to anyone, you're allowed to keep it. So he suggests that might be another nafkamina. He ends up wanting to say that even Rashi will agree that it works like cousin, but that's just to sharpen the difference between the two reasons. Now, let's get to the point where he says he wasn't giving, he wasn't miyayish.
Right? I know it was swept away, and I'm not.
And he's screaming that I'm not miyayish. He sees her going out to sea, and he doesn't want to be miyayish. He doesn't give up hope. He starts running after it, and he puts ads in the advertising magazines. And every week he says he lost this item. Right, you see, he hasn't given up. He wouldn't be spending money to put ads in the papers to say that he lost it, but signs up in all the shuls that he lost it. You see, he didn't give up hope. So that l'chorah should help, because the Gemara, the Rosh Hashanah, the second Gemara we said, harei l'shalo, these are his, right, including the items that got saved from the lion and the river and the overflood. We said harei yoshalo minesha balim is yarshim, and they're his because the owners gave up hope. Masha, if the owners had not given up hope, you'd be allowed to keep them. You would not be allowed to keep them. However, the rush on the spot says this last line of the Gemara, harei yoshalo minesha balim is yarshim behem, these are his because the owner gives up hope. That's going only on the last cases where he lost something in the street, he lost something in the public square. A normal case of an aveda where he lost something and it's unlikely he'll find it, so he gives up hope, and that's why you're allowed to keep it. So that's what Rashi says. Haim is yashin atzratia platia. He's talking about the public square and the roads, the rabbi mesuyim shankai, where there are a lot of people around. Avla eina, for the first cases in the mission in the Braisa, saving from the lion, the leopard, the river. So there, Afila Ami Betaveyach, even if he's standing up screaming, then he does not give up hope and he wants to get it. Nasik Shetaveyach Abeisa Shanafa. It doesn't help anything. It's just like his house fell down and he's screaming.
Don't fall down.
No, he doesn't want it to fall down. He's screaming, he's not so upset, but the house fell down. He doesn't have the house anymore. So the Rush says, and you have to split up the braisa. You're allowed to keep it no matter what. Then it's yours. Because the owners give up hope. The Rush is holding, like the other Rishonim, that it's, at least we can understand it very well, like those are showing that they it's hefker. There's a cost of that when a river takes something away, or something gets lost from any human way of finding it. If something gets lost completely, there's a cost of that. Hashem says it's hefker. So you can scream all you want that you don't want it to be hefker, but Hashem said it is hefker. The fact that you didn't give up hope doesn't make a difference. This is, the Torah says, that when something is completely lost from any human being able to find it, then it's hefker. It's not yours anymore, it's hefker. Now, it doesn't depend on what you thought, what you feel. It's just hefker automatically. So, based on that, the Rush says, it doesn't matter that if you're screaming, you can scream all you want. It's not yours anymore. So the Truma Sakri is Medayik, right? So is his brothers, Medayik from this Rush, that it's only in this case we say that if you're standing and screaming, it doesn't make a difference. But in last week's case, or other cases where the Gemara assumes that a person is in Yayish, say if it's an old item or it's in a place where, you know, there's thousands of people and who would ever think of finding it. So the Gemara says people normally give up hope. If you start screaming the minute you lose it, and I'm going to find it, and you put ads in, and you show that you haven't given up hope, in those cases, Hare Elu, you would not say Hare Elu Shalom, right? The Rush was willing to say the end of the bride said Hare Elu Shalom, it's yours in the public square because the owners are Miyayesh. And the Rush said, but if we know the owners are not Miyayesh, then you can't keep it. And he just said the Rush is not talking on that, in that situation. But we see in a situation where it is a normal case of Yiyush, not Zito Shalyam, a normal case of Yiyush, where we would assume, based on the rules of Yiyush, that the owner gives up hope, if he screams that he has not given him up hope, so then the halacha is that you'd have to give it back to him. Now, what happens if you found it, and according to the deep halacha, like the last week's case, it was an old item, and he comes to you and says, look, I didn't give up hope. I know the halacha says I gave up hope, but I really didn't give up hope. So then, first of all, we learn the Nimishur says, and you should give it back to him. But suppose you don't want to go with the Nimishur says in. Suppose, like we saw last week, you're poor and he's rich. Well, you're not looking to go with the Nimishur says in. So, do you have to give it back to him because he says he wants a Miyayesh? So that's where the Gemara says, we go by what the assumptions are. The assumptions are that when something's lost for years and years, the owner gives up hope. He claims that he didn't. He has to prove it. He has to have witnesses. Let him show you the advertisers that the advertisements that he made every week from the time he lost, and he's still putting them in 3 years later, 4 years later, showing that he has not given up hope. So then we could say such a thing that he didn't give up hope. This is the Erev Shai says, the Choshnarim, they both say, split up into these types, in this type of halacha, that there's three situations. Zuta Shal Yam, this week's case, something that's completely lost, no one could recover. So there, it's automatic. He's Miyayesh, no matter what. He's screaming, the Rosh says in his Tatsim Shulchan Aruch, there's nothing you can do about it. It's Hefri, you lost it. If it's a normal case where the Gemara just assumes that there's Yiyush based on certain circumstances, so then if he's screaming that I'm not Miyayesh, I'm not giving up hope, so then he says he didn't give up hope, you have to give it back to him. If he just claims he didn't give up hope, so then the burden of proof is on him to show that he did not give up hope. And if we don't see him running after, we don't see him putting in ads, we don't see him showing that he did not give up hope, so then you are allowed to say, I'm sorry, I don't have to give it back to you, unless you want to go with the Mishra Sadin, in the cases where the Mishra Sadin applies. But I just want to say that this Lachar is only according to the Rashba and the Ramban's reason, but according to Rashi, who said the only reason Zutov Shayam works is because if Yiyush, so there, Lachar we should say, Rashi would disagree with the Rash, and Rashi would learn the Gemara Kipshuto, that Rashi and Elazar said all these cases where Hareya Shalom, because the owners gave up hope. But if we know the owner did not give up hope, he was not Miyayesh, then you should be able to keep it, because the whole reason according to Rashi is because he was Miyayesh. And over here where he was not Miyayesh, we see he's sitting and screaming, when he was not Miyayesh, you should be able to keep it. That's Lechar what we would say. However, the Smath, the first one that says it, then the contemporary post can say it also. The Smat adds to the Rosh's reason. The Smat says, even if we see the person, Mirad Rachashiv, we see him running, right, the river sweats it away and he's running out for a sea to try to catch it, or wherever he's trying to run after it. It's impossible for him to catch it, but we see it, he hasn't given up hope. So the Smat says the Rosh, and Batla Daita Eitel Daz Kol Adam. Batla Daita Eitel Daz Kol Adam. He might think he's not giving up hope, but there's a story that it's normal that when things get swept away by a flood, people give up hope, and you say you are not giving up hope, you have to be normal. And normal people don't expect to find something, get swept out to sea. They don't expect to find it. So the fact, even if you say that there's Yiddish involved here, that means that in these cases, we say for sure there's years, and if he, even if he
demonstrating that he's not in the eye, he's just butler daito, he's not being normal. He has to be normal, and his das doesn't count, because normal people will give up hope when things get swept to sea. And this is passing in Shulchan Aruch, so either it's because we're accepting the Rashi, or even the way the Tzma says that even Rashi would agree to it, that even if a person is screaming that he's not giving up hope, it doesn't make a difference. The Pitzchei Choshen, I guess there's a little bit of a slur in Rashi, make it hear a little bit more hearable. Right? The problem is Rashi seems to say that this is where we learn Yiyush from, so it's not a Gzeir Sakasa. So he says, Rashi can agree it's a Gzeir Sakasa. However, Rashi is understanding the Gzeir Sakasa differently than the Ramban and the Rashi. He understands that the Gzeir Sakasa is that the Torah treats this Aveda as if the owners gave up hope. That's the way you should treat it. What mechanism is there that it belongs to the finder? The Rashman, the Rashman says the Torah made it Hefker. Hefker, Bezen Hefker, Hefker, Torah Hefker is Hefker. But the Pitzchei Choshen says that Rashi understands that no, that the Torah used the old mechanism of Yiyush. The Torah Pasim, the Torah demanded that the Torah assumes that this is a case of Yiyush. The Torah says, there's the cost of it. This should be treated as if the owners gave up hope. And we don't care what the owners really did or not. The Torah is treating it as if the owners gave up hope. And Rashi therefore has the right to say that all the dinim of Yiyush are learned from here, because over here the Torah is saying that if it's something completely lost and no one could get it, we're going to treat it there's a cost that the owners gave up hope. Hey, but that tells us that where it's not lost, it's a normal case where the owners do give up hope, so that's the normal thing of years where you can keep it. So Rashi's correct in learning from here that this is the source of Yiyush, but it still could be a Gzeiras HaKasav. Even if he's screaming that he's not giving up all hope, it won't make a difference, because the Torah, the Gzeiras HaKasav, the Torah said, we are treating this as if the owner gave up hope. The Ramban, and still objects to Rashi, saying that the source of this is Yiyush. He says it's not a Gzeiras HaKasav as Hefker, because Yiyush we learn from another pasuk, and that's the Machlokes of Rashi on the Ramban. So according to this Pitzchei Choshen, I think most of the contemporaries, if not all of them, are agreeing that you can't make a practical Machlokes halacha l'maaseh between Rashi and the others, and saying if the owner actually did not give up hope, whether you have to give it back. Across the board, they say that if something got swept away and there's no hope of recovering it, even if the owner is running after it, in that case, you are still allowed to keep it. And if you don't, if through Hefker or Gzeiras HaKasav that we treat it as Yiyush, in all cases, you're allowed to keep it.
I understand the calling it Hefker, that you define it as Yiyush because we sort of say that it shouldn't show up. So for some, the object did show up. So it's almost as though the...
Well, it doesn't make a difference because you don't know where it didn't show up in his front yard. Like I just heard someone tell me a mitzvah that happened that someone lost something in America and someone in France found it with the name on it and he returned it to him. Right? So here he lost it. Who would ever expect that it would be found? So it was found. It was found derech neis or something unusual. But as long as no one could get to it, at the end we're going to talk about some cases where this applies. As long as it's something that no one could get to, the derech sakasav is that we treat it either as Yiyush or we treat it as Hefker. So let's read the Shulchan Aruch first. The top of the handout. Hamatzil mein ha'ari v'hadov v'zutzah shol yam. If someone saves something from a lion, a bear, high tides of the sea, shulushus al-nar, the overflow of a river from a flood, hareyo shalom, you could keep it afilo habal omeit v'seveach, even if the owner is standing and screaming. Right, that's like the Rosh at Paskin in Shulchan Aruch. Now the Ramah puts in parentheses, Mikoma kom tovi yashar lahachter. Still, it's proper to return it. Commission is barbi sifay. Like we learned last week in sifay, that even when the owner has given up hope, there is still a proper thing to return it. And then the Ramah says something more. Afagav de medina ein chayvin lahachter bavedos eilu. Even though if you didn't, you're not mechuyev to return it. In gazer hamelech, if there's a decree of the king, like the boat sank and the government says no one's allowed to take any of the items from that boat, or a basin made a decree, chayiv lahasa, you have to return it. In the first case we call dina de machlusa, dina machlusa, dina, you have to return it. Oh, hefker, basin, hefker, because of Hefker, that's an Hefker, and that's an Hanei, that decree. So we'll see soon what the reason for that is. But the Ramah is clearly paskening that the Dinah from the Nima Shurat Din that we learned last week applies over here also. Now the Beit HaLevi disagrees, or he wants to say at least the Ran disagrees with the Ramah. If you look at the Gemara in Shabbos, the Mishnah says if there's Rachmanislan a fire on Shabbos, so the owner of the house is only allowed to carry a certain amount of items into a chatzar that has no Eruv. Now once he's carried out his quota, the Mishnah says, Omer l'achem, he can tell other people, go v'atzilu l'achem, you can go say things for yourself, and you can have them. Bimhoya picks them if they're smart, then osin v'cheshen achas Shabbos, they should make a cheshen with him after Shabbos, and try to get paid for the work they did, and return him their objects. Now the Gemara asks, what do you mean if what do you mean that they should, if they're pikeach, they should return it after Shabbos? The Gemara asks, it's theirs. They were zochah from Hefker, so they should be able to keep it. Why do they have to make a cheshbon after Shabbos and give them back the stuff and get paid for their work? The Gemara answer is talks about the Yari Shemayim Atkinan. It's talking about Yari Shemayim Delanichalei Delasayim Yacherim. He doesn't want to get any benefit from other people's property. And Rashi says, what's it mean that he was? The Gemara said that they got it from Hefker because he said, Hitzilu Lachem, save it for yourselves, and that's like a loss, and I'm giving it to you. So since he gave it to him, the Gemara asks, why should they have to give it back? So the Gemara answers, because it's the Yari Shemayim. The Ran says, Rashi, you didn't have to say that it's because he said, I want you to take it, that's why they own it. This is a case of Zuto Shoyam. There's a fire, he can't save it. So it's a Zuto Shoyam, it should be Hefker. And that's why we should be saying that they're really allowed to keep it. If the Yari Shemayim, they should return it. So what's the machlokes between Rashi and the Ran? So the Beis Halevi explains, Rashi holds, you can't say Zuto Shoyam, because if it's Zuto Shoyam, they have a chiyuv with nimishur sedin to return it. So what are you saying if your yari shamayim shall return it? With nimishur sedin they should return it. The Randa who held that it is a zutah shalyam halach over here, he holds there's no din to by zutah shalyam to go with nimishur sedin because it's from hefker. Right? We can apply this machlokas again. Certainly if it's hefker, so it's mine. Just like if the house fell down, it's not mine anymore. So this thing is lost, it's not mine. There's no the nimishur sedin to return it, and that's why. He says, it's only if you're Yari Shemayim that you don't want to have enough and something that's not yours, so then you can return it, but there's no Chiyav of Nimishur as I did. Now, just Erech Agav, the Beis Yosef disagrees with the Ran and said, that's not Zuta Shayam, because it's not like these other cases. Over here, it's not that no one's able to recover it, but there's an Isser of Chilul Shabbos. It's like a halachadika thing that's stopping you from getting it there. So he disagrees with the whole assumption that it's a case of Zuta Shayam here. Zuta Shayam is when no one could get it. Here, the others are getting it. It's not completely lost from any people. But anyway, from the Ran we see this concept that the Zuta Shayam is in by Zuta Shayam. Then the Shuma Sekhribing is another Raya from the Gemara Saptalad on the day, as I have on the first side of the handout. There was a vulture. Harodaya is a vulture that took meat from the market. And who's going to get the meat from the vulture? It's gone. And the vulture threw it in the palm trees in Barmerion's property. And Barmerion came in front of Abaya and asked him, what's halacha? And Abaya said, you're allowed to keep it. And the Gemara says, why? Because it's Zuta Shoyam. It's Zuta Shoyam, you're allowed to keep it. So the Shuma Sakri says, like we said last week, why didn't Abaya say, so you see from here that if Nimishur Zidin applies in a normal case where there is Yiyush, so there we say there's a din with Nimishur Zidin to return it. But if it's a case where Zutah Shayam, where there's a cost that it no longer belongs to the owner, so then there's not even a din with Nimishur Zidin. That's a raya that Truma Sakri says to disagree with the Ramah. It's not such a good raya, because if you recall from last week, we had a similar type of kasha. And right, we asked the case where
Rav, this person found the tar and he gave it. He says, Rav, what should I do? Rav says, to share it with Rechia. So the Shulchan Aruch Rav asks, why don't you have to go to Pnimis Shiras Adin? And from there, the Shulchan Aruch Rav proved that the Pnimis Shiras Adin only applies where you know who the owner is, or the owner comes to you, then you have to give it to him. But the Pnimis Shiras Adin does not apply, does not mean that you have to start taking the effort of announcing it and making ads, putting things, signs up all over the place. So here also, where the vulture took it and threw it into his backyard, he didn't know who it was taken from. So he has no key of the Nimish Rasim to start announcing. So the Shulchan Aruch Zakri's proof isn't so strong either. And then Mishmar Aveda brings from the Ketzos. The Ketzos says Pshat in this Dina de Malchus Adina. We never find a Dina Malchus Adina where it overrides Dina Torah. So why over here, if the Torah says there's a custom that if a sea washes something away, that you're allowed to keep it. Din Machusa says you're not allowed, you have to give it back. The remote passage says you have to give it back. So the Ketzos says, the reason is because even the Din Torah is a Din of Nimishras Adin to give it back to the owner. It's not completely yours. If there's a Din, there's with Nimishras Adin, you're supposed to give it back. So if the Din of Machusa says give it back, and we have a Nimishras Adin to give it back, certainly you have to listen to that Din of Machusa, the Hefker Bats and Hefker, to give it back. And that's why he understands the Din of Machusa. So this contemporary Mishpat Veda learns from here that you see the Ketzos is applying with Nimish Shiras Adin even in cases of Zuto Shel Yam, because otherwise the Din of Machusa wouldn't make a difference here. So a bottom line, it's the Ramah Paskins that even by Zuto Shel Yam, even though it's completely lost and it's there's a custom that you're allowed to keep it, but still it seems the Ramah Paskins that you have to go to the Mishra Sidin, and the Rayas from the Beis Halev, from the screen, don't seem to be that strong, and the Ketzos is clearly not going that way. And it probably should be the same also that we said last week, that if this thing that got washed on your land, the vulture dropped in your yard, it has an identifying simon, so you're not mechuyev to go and make an announcement. That much is yours, even though it has a simon. But if it has a person's name and address and phone number on it, so then you are mechuyev to give a phone call. That might have been what happened in France over there. Probably what happened. How did you find out that the person in America lost? It must have had that person's name on it. So there's a simon sure simon. And even though mi'ikrit and zutar shayam, you're allowed to keep it. But the Ramah does paskin that you have to go to Sinim Mishra Sadin and return it. So what are the practical cases where this applies? So we said in the beginning, scuba diving. You find something in the middle of the ocean and there's no simon on it, or even if there is a simon, there's no name tag on it. So you'll be allowed to keep it without compunctions. There's no Sinim Mishra Sadin. If there's a Dina Machusa, so then you might have to, if the law is that they say anything you find you have to return, so then the Ramah says you have to follow that. Or something washed along the beach, then you're walking and you find it. Now, one of these forums said if you find something in someone's garbage can, that's Zuto Shayam, because the garbage collectors are going to take it away. Now, I don't know why that's true.
They didn't take it away yet.
They didn't take it away yet. It's not a Buddha, mi men mi kolonim. Right? Anyone can walk by and take it. I don't know why. It's different than a lion taking something away, or you know, a vulture. So he made a mistake. He didn't really, the children put it over there. He wasn't mocked of it. Right? So anyway, that's the case where they say it, but I'm not sure why it's true. Now, historically, a case was what we were talking about in the beginning, things lost in World War II, so we would say that's certainly Zuto Shel Yam. They went and they took everything, it should be Zuto Shel Yam. So just to conclude with a three shuvas, that they don't seem to go that far. The Imre Yosher was talking in World War I. The Russians were collecting all the svarim they could find because they wanted to shred them, Rahman al-Islam, and use them for binding books, to use whatever the paper needs they had. And some Jews went and they got the svarim back. So the shaila was, did they have to return it to the owner? So he said, first thing to say, this is Zuto Shel Yam. The armies came and they took it, and there is a halacha if an army comes in and takes it, and the Sivas hold that's called Zuto Shel Yam. The army comes and ransacks the city. Well, it's not a Jew. It's like it's not a Gneva is where someone steals something. Well, anyway, that's what he says. So he says this isn't a case of Zifashem, this is the case of Gneva. Because why? Well, because why? He says because it's not destroyed yet. It's in their hands. So someone stole the sefer from this person. So and you got it back. So that was Gneva. That wasn't Zut Hashem. If it was already in the incinerators on the way to getting ground up, and somehow one got through, so that would be Zut Hashem. But over here, he says it's not Zut Hashem. He says it doesn't make a difference though, because as soon as the Russian army comes and takes your things, you're miyayesh, and so then you would be able to keep it after a yiyush.
But that's yiyush.
Okay. The Chalkas Yaakov says, we spoke about this briefly last year in World War II, if there was, someone was had to run away, and he said, here, hold my property, my rings for me, my property, and then after the war, you know, does this Shomer have to go find the owner? So we spoke out last year, you can't say that's Zut Hashem either.